Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter. The 5th trumpet is sounding. Revelation chapter 9. Just a reminder, we've got the 7 seal judgments. The 7th seal is open, and in that seal judgment is revealed the 7 trumpet judgments. And not the 7 bowl judgments, the 7 vial judgments. Your King James Bible says vial. It is amazing to me how many King James Bible writers' curriculums call it a bowl. It is not a bowl, and it's not a bowl for a reason. And when you change, again, it's coming from the critical text Bible. Bowl does not come anywhere but from the critical text Bibles. And they have influence. They have influenced the writers. They've influenced preachers. They have influenced Sunday school curriculums. Why is it a vial? There's a difference between a bowl and a vial. And you'll have to come back and find out the answer to that when we get there. But all the 7 trumpets and the 7 vials are all under that 7th seal. The 7th seal, again, if you're looking at an outline, you understand 1, 2 major points. It's got 7 seals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7th seal is open, and under that 7th seal comes the other judgments. It's just important because it's a scroll. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And the vial judgments are part of that 7th seal that Jesus Christ does. We're in the 9th chapter. Let's start at verse 1. And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now imagine for a moment that you were given the key to that pit. Would you open it? Who's got the key? And why is it being opened? And he, and people look at verse 1, is it the 5th angel that's given the key? Or is it the star that fell? Is there a star that fell from heaven? Who would that be? Probably Satan, Lucifer. He fell, did he not? He got the key and he's opening up the door. What is being loose? This is going to tell us. Listen, this chapter 9 of Revelation, if this was the only chapter that I had of God's Word, and you showed me this and said, this is what you are going to experience, this chapter right here, scares the absolute living daylights out of me. And there's not a whole lot that scares me. But this does. I remember hearing my dad, when my dad was presenting Revelation, preaching, and listening to my dad talk about this. When he gets to chapter 9, I'll tell you what. Even right now, just thinking about what's in this chapter, my hair on the back of my head stands on its end. This is absolutely horrid. And if you said, you're going to go through this, but you don't have to, please tell me, how can I avoid this? And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. I would want to know, just based on this chapter alone. Satan is opening up the bottomless pit. And there rose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Do you like things crawling on you in the middle of the night? Little creepy crawling things on your skin? Or are you one of those people that go, "Ah!" And are you one of those? And I would say, it's a grasshopper. But this just ain't any old grasshopper that's coming out. Locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power. What kind of power? As the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Now, what's unusual about that? Typically, that's what locusts eat. They go after the grass. But these locusts are not, they don't want to eat grass. They are not vegetarians. They are meat eaters. They're coming after you. They're coming after people that don't know Christ. It's a specific punishment, judgment on those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But who? Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. This is just kind of interesting. You'll hear me say, and you'll hear preachers say, whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit. If you walked out of here today, saved or unsaved, Christian or unsaved, anybody that knows anything about the book of Revelation, and you said to them, who gets the mark in the forehead? And they go, oh, we know the answer to that. That's people that have the mark of the beast. Mark of the forehead or in their right hand that no man should buy or sell or get gain. And here's the number of the beast. Number of man is 666. And people know that. There is a fellow, they're talking about him this week. He has 666 tattooed on his forehead in big letters. The world knows about that. But what the world does not know is that is a copy of God's got a mark. God marks people. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. There are scorpions that will kill, but the majority of scorpion bites to an adult. It is not a death sentence. But it is painful, it is reddening, it is swelling, it is uncomfortable. But a typical scorpion sting, it can be treated and it'll go away, not for 5 months. Here in Revelation chapter 9. Verse 6, as a result, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now imagine, picture this in your mind. Picture these locusts like a horse head, and with their nostrils. Because that's what a horse prepared for battle does, and those nostrils going in and out. And you're looking at this thing in front of you. And this thing has the sting of a scorpion, and you don't have the mark of God, and he's coming after you. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. This sounds like something you see on a Hollywood horror flick, right? You wonder where Hollywood gets their ideas from? Probably read Revelation. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So you got a horse head breathing in and out. Long hair. Teeth that look like a lion's teeth. And they're coming after you. I'm going to kill them. Verse 9, and they had breastplates. These are bugs with armor plating. You can't kill the bugs. The beasts, they had breastplates. How hard were they? As were breastplates of iron. And they made noise. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. How many of you have been in our area when the cicadas come out? Now they're like deafening. Those little bugs are about this big. And they fly and they fly into you. And if you've got long hair, they kind of get caught in your hair. They are disgusting bugs. And people scream over those. Imagine when the horse head with the nostrils and long hair come and the teeth like lion come after you, and there's no escape. There's no squashing them like a bug. The sound. And they had, verse 10, they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt, not the trees, not the grass. Their power was to hurt men. That's their sole purpose. They had a king over them. Who's that? The angel of the bottomless pit. Who is that? Whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, Father, I pray that we would be those that know you as their Savior, that tonight that they would understand that we should not let fear grip us from telling people about you, knocking on doors, taking the good news, placing a gospel tract, but knowing the terror of our Lord, knowing Revelation chapter 9, that we should persuade men to flee the wrath to come. And Father, I pray for that person that says, I'm going to get saved during tribulation period. Now, they would come to understand tonight that that's not a wise decision, if it's even possible at all for them. Speak to our hearts tonight. Do a work, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just do a little bit of review, and over the next 3 minutes, Revelation chapter 6, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb. He's worthy. He opens the seals. The opening of the seals marks the beginning of the tribulation period, not the rapture. I just say that because rapture is an event that's going to take place before the tribulation period, but if the tribulation period might not start for a week or 2 weeks or 2 months, I don't know. But once that seal is open, that marks the start of the tribulation period. Tribulation period is marked by the rise of the Antichrist, marked by the rise of the false prophet, war, famine, devastation. Grass is hurt, the water is hurt. We've seen that. And now in this particular chapter, the target is man. Who is that? The inhabitants of the earth. And we'll attempt to hide from the Lamb. What should we do? You shouldn't be hiding from God. You should be coming to Him for salvation. Christian, God speaks to your heart in a church service. Don't get mad at the preacher. Come down, drop your knee at the altar, and do business with God. The preacher is not the enemy. Listen, your parents, they love you. They're not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Satan hates you. He's the one that wants to destroy you. God is your friend. Come to Him. Revelation chapter 7, we looked at that. We opened the seals. Revelation chapter 7 is parenthetical. It's stuck in there to give you a little bit of a backdrop. I say it's like a clause in the English language. It's there. You can take it out. It's not going to affect the seals and where they're landing and how the judgments on earth are playing out. But it's a parenthetical element, if you will, that whole chapter. Giving us a window into heaven to see what is transpiring above while the world is being plunged into great tribulation. Revelation chapter 8, the opening of the seventh seal, which contains the seven trumpets, and then trumpet number 7 will open the seven vials. What do we see in verse 1? We see a star falling. Now, sometimes when you see a star, it could be a literal star, like a meteorite. I say, preacher, do I need to know the Greek or Hebrew to figure that out? No, just read the context. A star is not called a hymn. And very clearly, by what has been translated for us, we can see from your King James Bible that this star is a hymn. And to him was given a key. And the key is to the bottomless pit. Many times, their stars refer to people. I've found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. So Jesus has been referred to as stars. In the book of Revelation, you have the seven stars, which are the seven pastors of seven churches. And so a star is a messenger, angelic messenger. And so the preacher is a messenger. I bring you a message. And if you say, Pastor, I've never seen an angel. I know that probably just wrecks your whole idea.
Oh, preacher, please don't say that now. I'll never be able to look at angels again the same way.
We want them to have wings and halos. And Mrs. Bishop will tell you, this angel, I'll use some bad English. Are you ready? Ain't got no halo. This one doesn't. But I am a messenger, and I bring a message. So that's often the case. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Jump over a page. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 tells us, and the great dragon was cast out. Well, what did we see in chapter 9? I saw a star fall. And in verse 9 of chapter 12, you see that the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole earth. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 tells us, and I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So to say that this is Satan, and that he fell is not unfaithful to the text at all. Revelation chapter 11. Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Then Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? Flee the wrath to come. Run to the cross. You do not want to go through this. Now again, imagine you've got the key to the door that houses the satanic beings and you're going to let them loose? Not me. I'd be doing a meltdown. Somebody get a fire, we're melting this key down because those bad boys are never getting out of there. Who's going to let them loose? Satan is not your friend. He does not care about you. He does not want you to have fun. I'm going to go to hell because that's where all my friends are. They are not going to be your friends in hell. That is not a good plan. That is not a good plan. Better for you to come to Christ, and if you're a real friend, to convince your friends to come to Christ so they don't have to go through that place where these beings are for all eternity. Revelation chapter 20. We memorized this last year. Great, great passage. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and did what? Bound him 1,000 years. And did what? And cast him into the bottomless pit. And did what? And shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Mrs. Bishop is troubled by that, I'll just tell you. She said, we got the guy, we got him locked up, why are we letting him loose? Notice the text said he must, it's regarded. And you can talk to me about that. When we get to that passage, we'll certainly address that. I think it's a legal requirement. There's some legal jargon going to be in there. But the fact is this. Is it a literal key that we're going to melt down? I don't know. Could be figurative. But whatever it is, it gives the ability to open that door and open that pit, to release that. Whether it's the authority. Try this tonight. Go over to Fairfax County Jail. Now, as you walk up to the jailer, you won't see him because the windows are totally black. But trust me, there's a guy back there with all kinds. He sees you. He sees you. And go up there and just say, open the door and see what happens. Just see what happens. Take somebody with you to videotape, because we really want to play it on Sunday morning, because you won't be here to show us. because they're probably going to open it up and take you in. I was making a visit in the jail. I'm pretty familiar with the jail, and unfortunately, not because I was sentenced to spend time there. I was visiting or dropping people off who were going to spend time there. Let's just put it that way. So I was not in law enforcement anymore, and there was a reason for me to be at the jail, which means one of you were there. Okay. So I go in, and it's been a while since I've been there, and they're in a place that jail is not a place where I like to hang out. I'll just tell you that. I don't like to go anywhere where I don't have the key to the door. And when you go to jail, they don't give you the key. They don't give you the key to the door. And so you walk in, here I'm the guy behind the black glass, and he comes and says, put your ID. So I put my ID in there. He looks on the list, and I'm cleared to go. And then they got to go through, and they do the wand check and make sure you know the thing. And they open the door, and I walk into the jail part. And he says something to me like this. And what did you say? Okay. That's exactly what I said. What did he say? I have no idea, because that's what it sounded like. So I'm standing there because it's an elevator with no buttons on the outside. And I'm just standing there waiting. When you're in jail, you wait a lot. You wait a lot. What are you waiting for? For the guy, I don't know, to finish his video, to finish lunch, finish clipping his nails. I don't know what he's doing back there. So the door opens up, and I step inside. And the door closes. But the elevator doesn't move. Now, there are buttons on the inside. It was probably a lady deputy. I probably reminded her of her ex-husband. Probably. And so I'm standing there, and it's not moving. And so maybe I'm supposed to push a button. And maybe in his, he said, push a button. So I pushed a button. And the voice comes on and says, why are you pushing that button? I don't know, because I want to go visit this person. He said, they're not there. Okay. He said, they're downstairs. Okay. He said, step back. Don't stop pushing buttons. Okay. Step back. The elevator started moving. It went downstairs. It opened up and everything was okay. I'm just saying, it's not a pleasant place. And you just don't get in. Unless you have authority, or the authority has locked you up in there. But you can try it after the service if you like. Now, there are people who are locked up here because the authority has locked them up. But somebody has been given the control to that door, and they're going to get loose. They're going to be loosed. Who's going to be loosed? Verse 2. The door opens up, and I tell you what, everybody knows the door is open. Because the smoke as what? As a great furnace. I'm picturing in my mind a thermonuclear bomb going off. And that smoke going up into the atmosphere as a big mushroom cloud. That's what I'm picturing. How big is the cloud? Blocks out the sun. And the air was dark, darkened by reason of the smoke. I don't consider this meddling. If you do, then see me at the altar afterwards. Verse 2 reminds me of a rock concert. It just does. Say, preacher, have you ever been to a rock concert? I have. Not as a Christian, I haven't. I shouldn't say that. I was a Christian, but I was at the rock concert. I was there in an official capacity to take people to this place. To lock people up. There's a fight going on. But as I walked in, it just as a Christian, it's immediately your whole aura is, this is satanic. If you can go into a rock concert and you don't think that's satanic, your conscience has been seared. You have become deadened spiritually. A rock concert really doesn't, I say this, take this with a grain of salt. A rock concert doesn't bother me because I know they're all Satan worshipers that are there. At least they should be. Shouldn't be Christians there. I understand that's what the underworld does. What bothers me is we have churches today that are bringing that on the platform. They're dimming the lights, and I call it smoke and mirrors, but they got the red lights and the flashing lights and the bulbs going off and the smoke coming up out of the floor. And why would you want to mimic something that is satanic? That really bothers me. For unsaved people to act like unsaved people, I get that. But for people who claim to name the name of Christ to mimic something like this in a service that is designed for the worship and glory of God Almighty, that just bothers me. It should bother you. Interesting, locusts, again, as I said, normally consume anything green, but not these locusts. The fifth trumpet is marked by that which is dark and demonic and satanic. I would not want to be here on this earth when that happens. Now, there are people that are saved during tribulation period, and those people, God is marking in their forehead. God's mark. They've got God's mark of protection. Why? Because during tribulation period, they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They had never heard a gospel message, and they embraced God's salvation. They are now saved. As a result, the Antichrist, the world, is hunting them. They're being beheaded. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But the scorpions aren't getting them because God is protecting them. Just let me say, God has the ability to protect His own. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael said, "We are not careful to answer thee. The God whom we serve, He is able to deliver us." They understood that God is able, but they were going to follow God regardless. We will not bow. We will not do it. This one judgment, again, if I were a lost person today, I'd be coming to Christ. Number one, I don't like things that crawl. But imagine, again, something with about the size of a man, the face of a man, the hair of a woman, a breastplate of armor that you can't kill, with teeth like a lion standing up on two legs and coming to bite you with a sting like a scorpion that is going to put you in pain for 5 months. I say, "Preacher, I'll just go to the emergency room." I don't think the emergency rooms are going to be in business because they're getting stung too. Everybody's a patient. Nobody has treatment. Locusts, in God's word, often synonymous with judgment. And again, their target is not the food supply. Their target is the Christ rejectors. So you run into somebody that says, "Hey, I'm going to wait till the tribulation period, then I'll get saved." You're going to be a target. You will be the target. Those beasts are coming after you, and there'll be no place to hide. 5 months of torment, intense pain. Again, the sting of a scorpion normally lasts about 7 to 10 days. So you think, "I'll be fine in 10 days. Scorpion bite, I'm a tough guy." But after 5 months, your toughness is gone. I would say on day 11, when it's not getting any better, your toughness will be gone. Here we've got the smoke. What does smoke affect? It affects your lungs, your ability to breathe. It affects your psyche, your ability to have a positive outlook on a dark day. Just affects all of those things. The heart is affected. All the body functions will be affected. And what will be the result? Men will desire to die. They will seek death. But they will not be able to die. Imagine. I'm not going to get graphic. You just think about that. What people do to try to take their own life, and God will not allow it. Frightening. Frightening. Our minds are darkened, confused, agony. if you'll let me say that taking a life, taking your own life, because you're gripped in pain, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Because if they could be successful in killing themselves, the pain of the scorpion would pale in comparison to the pain and torment in hell for all eternity. Verse 7, shapes of the locusts. Horses prepared for battle, on their heads were crowns like gold, faces like the faces of men, hair as the hair of women, teeth as the teeth of lions, breastplates as the breastplates of iron, and sound. It's just every one of the senses. You feel the pain, you hear the noise, you see the frightening creature, you can see the teeth coming at you, you can feel it as it penetrates your skin. The signs, the sights, the sounds of judgment and torture, of torment. Imagine meeting this creature in the night. And down at the local police station, they had a mouse infestation. They were trying to do a catch and release. You know, there were some people that didn't want to see mice die. And I just said to the gal that was running the snack shop, I said, I'm a Michigan farmer. I've been hunting. I am the great Michigan mouse hunter. And when you're serious about getting rid of your mouse problem, you call me. But this is a capital offense. There won't be any catch and release. And so they let it go on for another 2 weeks. They said, finally the gal said, okay, we're desperate. We were calling the Michigan mouse hunter. And I caught 19 mice in the local police station. 19 over 2 weeks. So here, a mouse. It's a mouse, right? If I were sitting here and a mouse came by, I would try to smack him with my hand. It's a mouse. But what are they doing? Ah! They're climbing on furniture. You can hear screams in the police station as people are running for higher ground. And I just look at him and go, it's a mouse. And she said, you look like you were going to hit him with your hand. I was. But he was too fast. She said, that's disgusting. No. This is horrifying. A little mouse, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse running around. They don't bother me. This bothers me. And it should bother you. They serve a king. King is Satan himself. Verse 11, the king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. Going back to Revelation 20 again. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are. That is a present tense verb. Are. Right now, right at this time. Not where they were or where they were cast once upon a time. And when this verse folds to unfold, it's where they are. And shall be tormented day and night. What is the sentence? Sentence is important. 2 years, 48 months. Time off for good behavior? No. Forever and ever. So you say, preacher, that's why I'm not coming to Christ, because that's not fair. This is a sentence that's in the code book. Flee the wrath to come. Don't embrace Satan, the deceiver's lie. Trumpet number 5, the divine restraints have been removed. God's judgment is being poured upon them. What is the world doing today? Hollywood, they make fun of it. They make horror movies. If you watch horror movies as a Christian, I don't know. It's something the matter, personally. You enjoy seeing the torments of hell unfold on the screen? Get some sick joy out of that? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we're not supposed to embrace it. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we're supposed to persuade them to do what? To flee the wrath to come. Say, well, preacher, I like my rock music. I like my rock concerts. It's like, really? You know, Christ is your Savior, but you're going to embrace something that makes the world feel comfortable with the dark, demonic forces of Satan? I don't know. Not something I would want to buy or listen to or watch the advertising that would give them more money, to give them more power, to put out more of their poison, to take more people to hell. It's not something I'd want to stand before God and say, I did that. No, I don't want to do that. What does Hollywood and rock music do? It programs the world to embrace Satan. Father, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to let our light so shine that the people around us would see Jesus. Help us to do it. For that person who is listening that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they would flee the wrath to come. And we'll praise you for your salvation and thank you for your grace and mercy throughout all eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.